help you understand the significance of a baptism night like this. So if you would, if you have a Bible, you can turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If not, that's fine. Maybe you can share some with somebody around you. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of electronic versions on online, so you can even search it there. Acts chapter 2. I want to be looking at verse 37 to 42. But before we get into that, you know, we all like movies, I think, and good shows, especially those movies where the star, the main character of the movie, gets a second chance. Maybe it's a second chance, another chance at love, or another shot at making the winning goal, or a second try to make things right, or just another chance to get up and beat the bad guy. We all love those stories. Stories with second chances sell tickets. That's why they're so popular. That's why almost every movie or show that you'll see has a second chance in there. Well, tonight we want to see that God is the ultimate giver of another chance. We're going to see in this passage some very bad people are given another chance that they didn't deserve. So if you would, please follow along with me. I'm in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men, brothers, what should we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly bore witness and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this crooked generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." The title of this sermon is Another Chance. Another Chance. My desire is that you would answer God's call to salvation if you don't know him this evening. The first thing that we see that God gives us another chance at is to be convicted over sin. In verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men, brothers, what should we do?'" Now, we're picking it up in the middle of a story, of course. And so the question is, what did they hear? Because it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart." So, I mean, we got to figure out what pierced them to the heart. Well, a few verses would help. Verse 14 of this same chapter, just a little bit above. Verse 14, this is what pierced them to the heart. "Peter, taking his stand with the 11, he raised his voice and declared to them." So it's a sermon. He says, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." What does he want them to know? Well, it boils down. We looked at it a little bit earlier. Verse 22 and 23. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of lawless men and put him to death." And then jump down a little bit more to verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." That message, that Jesus, the Son of God, coming to earth, living a perfect life of absolute sinlessness, reached the end of his life, and instead of being praised by men, was crucified and rejected by men. And these men that stood there hearing this sermon were exactly the same people that sent Jesus to death. It was the same exact people who said, crucify him, and handed him over to the Roman guards to be killed and slaughtered. Peter stands before them, preaching to them and saying, you killed the Son of God. You killed him. You knew what you were doing, and he was a threat to your life, a threat to your autonomy, and you killed him. That's what pierced them to the heart. They crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No. The reality is that he might as well be in this room preaching to us. Because guess what? You and I, by our sins, placed Jesus on the cross too. Do you understand that, dear one? You killed Jesus Christ by your sins. Well, you say, well, I wasn't there. No, you weren't. But the reason he died is because of the sins that you so love. That's why he died, was to make a payment for the sins that we hold so dearly and go back to and back to again and again and again. That's why he died. And so just as much as those men, these Jewish men, crucified literally the Son of God, so we also crucified Jesus with our sins. That should pierce us to the heart, just like these people. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus this way, then he is giving you another chance to be gripped by the reality and the heinousness of your sin. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, wounded for our sins. You might say, what sins? Not that bad. Give me a break. Exodus 20 records for us the Ten Commandments, the ultimate law over all of creation. Just because it was given directly to Israel does not mean that we are not obligated to obey all Ten Commandments. Let me read them for you. You shall have no other gods before me. Do you love anything else more than God? You've broken one. Secondly, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Do you treat other people and other things of this world with more attention and adoration and appreciation than God? Then you have an idol. You've broken two. Third, you shall not take the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain. Have you ever cursed or mocked God or dismissed him? You've broken the third commandment. Fourth, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Have you ever woken up and said, you know, I don't feel like going to church today. I got other things to do. Then you've broken the fourth commandment, because every Sunday that you don't go to church and fall down on your face and worship Christ is another time that you ignore him and break this commandment. You're robbing him of glory. I don't know what I'm on. What am I on? Five? Four, five, honor your father and mother. Have you ever mocked your father and mother? Have you ever discounted your father and mother? You've broken the fifth commandment. Six, you shall not murder. Have you ever hated someone, been angry at them in your heart and wanted to kill them, wanted to hurt them in some even small way, but the only thing that held you back was the consequences? You've broken the sixth commandment. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever been immoral with your actions or with your heart and your mind? With that overactive imagination of yours, have you ever lusted after someone? And you've broken the seventh commandment. Eighth, you shall not steal. Have you ever taken something that's not yours? You've broken the eighth commandment. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stretched the truth to make yourself look better or get out of trouble? You've broken the 9th commandment. And then 10th, you shall not covet. Have you ever been jealous? Wanted what someone else had that you couldn't? Then you've broken the 10th commandment. So I don't know about you, but I've broken every single one. How are you doing? What's your scorecard look like? Oh, it's filled. It's filled with transgression and sin. It's filled with rebellion, isn't it? Just like mine. And these people standing here were so convicted over their sin. It says they were pierced to the heart. They were struck. They were dumbfounded. They were stunned. They were grieved in their soul. So tonight, dear ones, are you pierced to the heart? Is your heart pierced or is it dull? Does your heart bleed for how you have chosen to live for yourself and to minimize God? Oh, hear me tonight. God is giving you another chance to be convicted over your sin. Don't let it pass you by. Remember, these are the ones that killed Jesus himself. God should have been done with them, but he gave them another chance. And so he does tonight. But guess what? That bad feeling isn't enough to save. Just feeling bad about your sin isn't enough to be saved. Like someone standing on the patio of the house, you won't feel the warmth of the home until you enter in all the way. So Jesus and God calls you to enter in by faith. 2, called by God. He's giving them another chance to answer the call of God. 2 again, 38-39. And Peter said to them, in answer to the question, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. That very last phrase in verse 39, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself, that's a summary statement. It distills down everything that happens to someone when they become a Christian. What happens when somebody follows Christ at the very beginning and becomes a believer? God says you are called. You are called by God himself. Now, in one sense, here tonight, everyone that can hear my voice is called by God to come to him and find forgiveness for their sins. All of you are being called tonight. But for some of you, that call will fall on deaf ears. You'll leave here and be unaffected. And I hope that's not true of you. Because you don't know if God is going to give you another chance. Tonight he's given you another chance. You don't know if that's going to come again. After all, he doesn't owe us one, does he? But for some of us, for some of you, it is truly my deepest prayer that this call of God is a special call today. Is God speaking to you, dear sinner? Are you done running from him? Are you tired yet? Or is your soul exhausted yet of trying to carry around the weight of your guilt and fear? Are you done? Have you had enough? Then come to God. Amen. Answer the call tonight. And Peter explains what that means. First of all, repent. Repent. Turn from your selfish and sinful ways. Turn to God in complete surrender. Believe also. Repent and believe. Believe in your heart that Jesus, the Son of God, took God's judgment for your sins upon himself there on the cross. And then ask. Repent, believe, and then ask. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. He promises, guess what? He promises he will never turn you down. If you would repent and believe and ask for his forgiveness, he will never turn one down. He hasn't done one yet. And the promise here is a promise that God will give you the Holy Spirit. That means if you repent and believe and cry out for forgiveness, God will answer that call and forgive you. And not only that, but he'll give you his Spirit. And he will come and be with you and live within you, and you'll never be alone again. Amen. Peter continues, verse 40 and 41, and with many other words he solemnly bore witness and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Man, wouldn't that be wonderful to see tonight? Here's the call of God. Peter says it. Be saved from this crooked generation. The reality is every generation is a crooked generation. But my goodness, that generation was quite crooked. They killed the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But we're no better, are we? We're just as crooked. This call, be saved from this crooked generation, is the call of God unto salvation. It's the call that says, don't just go along with everyone else. Don't just go along with the crowd. They are all heading for eternal judgment. They don't know what awaits them. But God is giving you another chance to be saved today. So cry out to God to save you from that end. God alone can save. So call on him to save you today. Now that brings us to what are we doing tonight? He says in verse 38, be baptized. Peter said to them, repent each of you and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what we're doing tonight. We're here today because someone answered that call, was convicted over their sin, and answered the call to be saved from this crooked generation. And so, the next thing is be baptized. All who are believers are to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 38. That means they're identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. Baptism is really just a picture. It doesn't accomplish anything except get someone soaked. It doesn't change your spiritual state. It just doesn't. It's a picture. It signifies a spiritual reality. Just as someone is dunked and swallowed up by the water in baptism, so it pictures their whole life and identity has been swallowed up and consumed by Christ. Amen. That's what you should see. This one that is baptized, when they emerge, it's almost like saying you've been covered with Christ. It's no longer you. It's Christ in you. It's not just you. It's Jesus. Your identity, your main relationship, your main identity is him. He says in verse 38 also, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Now that doesn't mean that in order to be forgiven of your sins, you have to be baptized. It's not what it means. It means that you are to be baptized because of the forgiveness of sins. We use this word for that way in English, and that's how it's used here. Be baptized because of, on account of, the forgiveness of sins that you have already received. So the one who is to be baptized tonight has already received forgiveness for their sins. They are being baptized on account of that reality. And notice in verse 41, the ones who are baptized are those who had received the word or his words. That means that all those who have believed, fully and personally received the message of the gospel, are to be baptized. So those that are baptized, and the one baptized tonight has believed, place their faith, their trust, their hope in the message and the truth of the gospel. Lastly, the last verse, verse 42, I want to finish this as a word directly to you tonight, Hannah. If I may, and to each of you that have been baptized and claim the name of Christ. Verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. The third chance, the third second chance that God gives is to be committed to the church. You know, it's been said that the Christian's first act of obedience is baptism. I think the idea behind that statement is that it is incredibly important to obey Jesus' command to be baptized. It's a direct command to all his followers. And so if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you must be baptized. You need to understand it as really step one in some regards. This is because baptisms are when new believers can publicly and courageously declare that they are now followers of Jesus Christ. But though baptism might be called the believer's first act of obedience, it certainly isn't the last. You must be continually devoted to the life of the church. The word of continually devoted almost has the idea of looking like an addict. You know, I'm sure many of us have seen an addict or know an addict. And it always seems that that thing that they are addicted to is always within arm's reach, just about. They're never far from it. That's the wording here. That you are never to be far from the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Like someone who just can't get enough of these things, you must be devoted. It's a devotion that is complete, overwhelming, all-encompassing, and ongoing. It's the kind of devotion that unbelievers will find weird, shocking, and maybe even offensive. What must you be devoted to? First, the apostles' teaching. Well, the apostles' teaching are thankfully recorded for us in the pages of Scripture. So you, as a new believer, must be devoted to taking in as much of the Word of God as you possibly can. This is done through daily reading, discipleship, formal instruction, and of course, preaching of the word. You're also to be devoted to the fellowship. Fellowship means to share, to have something in common. And what Christians have in common, that is everything. That is everything that matters. It's interesting that he says that you are to be continually devoted to the fellowship. Meaning, this fellowship amongst true believers is something that is exclusive to true followers of Jesus Christ. The people of the church share something in common that never fades over time and always transcends the things of this world. You're also to be continually devoted to the breaking of bread. This is talking about the other ordinance of the church. One ordinance, one rite, practice that we are to observe as a church is baptism. That's what we're doing tonight. The other one is the Lord's Supper or communion. And this is a blessed activity for the church where we set aside time to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. And this happens every first Sunday of every month for us here at Redeemer Bible Church. And so the first Sunday of every month must be a top priority if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Then lastly, you are to be continually devoted to the prayers. Now, the church isn't given a catalog of prayers that we are to recite over and over again. Rather, this is a continual devotion to pray to our Heavenly Father, both privately and with other believers. You see, prayer is a precious gift of God, meant for His children to enjoy His presence and express their desires. So, as we close, dear unbeliever, I am truly thankful that you're here tonight. And I hope that you realize God is giving you yet again another chance. Another chance to be saved from your sins today. I would plead with you, do not let it pass you by. And dear Christian, may you be refreshed in your devotion to your Lord and Savior. He's given you another chance too. Another chance to determine in your heart to be continually devoting yourself to Jesus. Let me pray, and then we'll continue our time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you're a God of second chances. And third and fourth and fifth, Lord, thank you that you never tire of offering the gospel. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would save, that you would work in someone's heart so that they would not let this chance pass them by, but they would seize this opportunity to cry out to you for forgiveness and to find safety, Lord, in your grace. Thank you for giving us as your people another chance to be reminded of the sweetness of our salvation, and to stir us, Lord, to be devoted to you and to your church. Oh, Lord, help us to be a holy people, Lord, and I pray now as we baptize this dear one that you would be exalted and all praise and credit would go to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, so at this time, we're